Does anybody know
that God's good?
There's some things that I have learned. And he said, there's some things that I know. And I believe that one of those things that he just knew that he knew that he knew.
Right.
Was that God's good.
God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I was born and raised in this. And you're going to think this comical, but I cut my teeth on a Pentecostal pew. People shouting all around me.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with that. I can tell you this, 53 years, and he's never disappointed me.
Right.
I said he's never disappointed me. I've never been disappointed in the way that he worked.
Right.
I've never been disappointed in the way that he's moved.
Amen.
Now, he hasn't always answered every prayer just the way that I wanted him to.
Right.
But I've never been disappointed in him.
Right.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that we're serving a great big God like that today?
Hallelujah.
Let me just tell someone today that you walked into this place and you have some needs in your life that you need God to take care of. You haven't come to a museum that will put things on display for you. But you've come to a place that God is.
Yeah.
And the word of God says that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Right.
And Paul said it best in Acts the 17th chapter. He said, if haply we might feel after him.
Yeah.
And find him.
Fine.
Though he be not far from any one of us.
That's right.
I believe today that if we would just start feeling after him.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. God, I really don't know exactly where you're at right now in my life. I really don't know exactly where you're at in the middle of all my problems. But God, I'm going to feel after you. You know, we get selfish a lot of times, and we want everything for us today.
Yeah.
You know what I would like for Souls Harbor to do today? I'd like for you to forget about yourself for the next 30 minutes today, and I want you to think about somebody else in this house today that's not as fortunate as you.
All right.
That hasn't been brought up or hasn't been the last week in the type of services that we've been in. Sunday was good. Sunday night was good. Woo. Monday night was better. Tuesday night was a bomb. Wednesday night was a bomb. Thursday night was a bomb. Friday night was a bomb. I'll tell you what, God's been doing some stuff around
us. Yes,
but somewhere, if we're going to see the harvest that God wants us to see,
come on.
We've got to get our eyes off of us.
Right.
And we've got to get our eyes upon those that are less fortunate than us. That's not feeling and has not felt what we feel in this place right now. Let me just tell someone that you've walked into a place today that we believe that God can do anything. We don't have God in a little box
that
we keep him confined to. But what we're saying today is whatever your need is, we've got a God that's able to take care of it. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this
room. Yes.
Let's just lift our hands and love him again.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. You know, somebody's soil has already been broken up today. When you walk through these doors, that soil was broken up. And you're just ready for God to start planting some things in your life. I'm telling you, God's doing it in this service right now. He's doing it in this service right now. Hallelujah. Why don't we just all across the building, I'm in no hurry today. Let's just lift our hands and magnify Him and love Him one more time. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just let Him know how great that He is. Let's just let Him know how wonderful that it is to feel His presence. And if you're feeling something right now that you've never felt before, let me just go ahead and tell you, why don't you open yourself up and receive what God has for you today. God's going to do something for you before you walk out of this building. I said, God's going to do something for you before you walk out of this building today. I believe that. I believe that. But when I was pastoring, and Lisa and I were pastoring in Macon, we had an elderly man that walked into our service on one Sunday morning, Pastor Newman. His daughter had been coming for a number of weeks, and his granddaughter, and something had got a hold of his daughter and granddaughter, and he wanted to see what was taking place. He wanted to see what kind of church she was going to, because she used to have a foul mouth and she could literally make the sailors blush, from what I understand, because of the way that she would talk. She worked around men and did that just to fit in. Something began to get a hold of her. God beautifully filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and started a new work in her life. And Dad wanted to see what was taking place. So Dad, Mom came and they sat the second, the center section back about three rows from the back. And that Sunday morning, the Word of God went forth. And old Prentice just kind of stood there. He watched as people began to respond. Second Sunday, he came back and the Word of God went forth, and I watched as Prentice grabbed a hold at the altar service. He grabbed a hold of the pew in front of him and just stood there with his head bowed. Where he made his mistake was he came back that third service. The Word of God went forth. And after the Word of God went forth, conviction settled in. And I watched his big old tears begin. I'm talking about a 6'5" man, big old hands. He had retired from the Kaolin mines, and big man. Big old tears begin to course down his cheeks. I walked back to where he was at, and I stood up in the pew just to kind of be eyeball to eyeball with him. And I said, Prentice, I said, God wants to do something for you this morning. He looked at me in those big old tears. He said, Preacher, if you knew where I was last night, he said, God wouldn't forgive me for the things that I've been doing in my lifetime. I looked at him and, Pastor, I've never had a boldness like this before. But I looked at him and I said, Prentice, if God don't fill you with the Holy Ghost this morning and forgive you of your sins, I will close my Bible and I will never preach another message. He looked at me. Before I could get down off the pew, he was in the aisle. Before I could hit the aisle, he was already at the front with his hands lifted toward heaven. We went up and laid hands upon him, and in 45 seconds, He was speaking in a heavenly language. We had five others, Pastor, receive the Holy Ghost that morning. You know why? Because they saw and they believed. I'm preaching to somebody today that you're going to walk out of this place today and you're going to see some things and you're going to believe that not only will God do them or do these things for somebody else, but you're going to have that rake and you're going to rake it in and you're going to say, God is going to do it for me. God is doing it for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The book of John, the 11th chapter. The book of John, the 11th chapter. Very familiar passages of scripture. As a matter of fact, many here today have heard this preached from so many times. I need you to help me out this morning. Will you do it?
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. The book of John, the 11th chapter. Begin reading in verse number 17. The word of God says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Before we're seated today, why don't we lift our hands and our hearts toward the Lord one more time. And let's ask God to add his blessings. Can we? Gracious God, we're so thankful today for your presence. We're thankful today that we know you, that we're able to call upon the greatest name, the name of Jesus. I'm thankful today, God, for people of God that have walked into your house with a hunger and a desire on inside of them, God, a thirst that's there that only you can satisfy and quench. And I'm asking, God, that you would bring us together in these next few moments. Bring us together in one mind and one accord. Give us ears that we may hear, and a heart that we may receive today. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. And everybody said, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Everybody said, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Before you're seated today, let me tell you, you don't have to wait for an altar service.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You don't have to wait for an invitation today.
Right.
If you feel like that God is ready to meet your need at that moment,
come on.
You're in perfect order just to step out from where you are and make your way down to the front. You're in perfect order just to stand right where you're at and lift your hands as a funnel and say, Lord, I receive it right now. You know? Listen, that's not out of order in a Pentecostal service. You're in order there. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. This world is in need of someone to help us. Situations are not getting any better, but you find that situations are continually getting worse. the moral decay of our country, and as individuals, is worsening continually.
Right.
The struggles of life have become and are becoming more intense day by day.
Day by day.
Every day we face new problems. Every day there are new obstacles that present themselves.
Right.
Every day there are new and complex questions that arise in our mind.
Right.
New tragedies that we face. New crises that become a part of our life. And new conflicts that we find every day.
Uh-huh.
Our children are facing complicated and stressful situations that you and I never faced as a child.
Right.
Matter of fact, our companions are fighting things on their jobs that they have never ever fought or faced before. There is a spiritual warfare that is going on.
Right.
I said there is a spiritual warfare that is going on in our world.
Right.
What this world really needs is for someone to step out and to say, peace, be still.
Right.
What this world really needs is for someone to come to where we are and to help us and to fix all of our problems. You find that over the years, God has blessed me to have individuals who were a vital, vital part of my life. Individuals that seemed to be there to help me, that God had ordained to help me, that God had placed in my life. I'm not talking so much about friends. I'm not talking so much about godly people. I'm talking about people that God placed in our life to help us when we didn't know where to turn to.
Right.
Let me say today that God placed a man of God in my life by the name of Merle Hewitt that became a very calming and stabilizing force in my life. Can I preach to you tonight, today, that if you don't have a pastor, you need to have a pastor.
Yes.
Matter of fact, if you don't have a pastor, you can't be saved without a pastor.
Yes.
You need a man of God in your life. You need a man of God to speak into your life like pastor has spoken to our lives in the last couple of nights of the prayer meetings and stuff. I'm talking about you need a man of God that when things are not going well in your life, that he can take a hold of the helm of the ship and he can say, Pastor, this is what's going on in my life. And if you didn't know Merle Ewing, you missed out on a blessing in your life. He was a small guy. He only weighed about 470 pounds. Just a real small guy. We raise them big in Louisiana and Texas, you know. Everything's big back that way. And I remember I hadn't been pastoring long, Brother Newman, but I remember the devil began to fight in that revival. He began to fight some things that was taking place, and we began to see some devils begin to fight harder than they'd ever fought before. And I picked up the phone and I knelt beside my bed and I called my pastor and I said, Pastor, I need a little bit of advice. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. We're in revival. But Pastor, I don't understand why these things are taking place. And there was a silence on the other end of the phone. I guess as he began to gather his thoughts, and in just a few seconds, he said, Bubba, He said, let me tell you. He said, every time revival fires begin to burn, it brings out the serpents, because the serpents can't take the heat. God preached to you today that he may have to fight some serpents before this is over. But that's all right, because the revival fires are burning in this place. Some devils, because as long as we're fighting some devils, we know we're doing something right. That's what? You don't have to fight no devil. Don't get entangled with the devil. You know what you have to do? The Bible doesn't say to fight them. The Bible says to cast them out. The Bible says speak to them. Get me behind me, Satan. You need to look at the enemy that you're facing, and you need to tell the enemy, get behind me. This is between me and God. Me and God has got a whole thing going. Me and God are in relationship together. Me and God have got this all along. Get behind me. Get behind me. Get behind me.
Know him from Adam. He was a banker. He was there when our church needed finances to expand our existing facility. God put a Michael Renner there in our path. He was our family physician that was able to help us out in not just physical things, but many other things. He put a Wesley Cannon that was a friend of mine and a mentor who was there when I needed him and my wife needed him at the most difficult and trying times in our life. God put a Joel Frank there in our life. He was a diesel mechanic by trade, but God brought him out of a world of drugs. And let me tell you, when I tell you that he literally would have fought any foe for us, it does not matter how big it was. It does not matter how small it would have been. It doesn't matter whether it was in the natural or the spiritual. But you, when I tell you that he would have laid down his life for us, I'm talking about he would have laid down his life for us. I'm talking about people that God would place in our lives. He placed Annette Burks. We began to do an outreach downtown Macon. Ed built his own place, his own home. It was between the seven bridges in Macon. It was called a teepee. He built it with his own hands. He cut down the little pine saplings to make it come together. He was homeless, but he made the mistake of coming to the house of God three times as well. And God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I would have to say, he is my dearest friend to this day. God put a Grady Bennett in every church. Needs a Grady Bennett. Brother Grady was an alcoholic, but God dug him up out of that alcoholism, and God began to turn some things around in his life. God filled his wife with the Holy Ghost. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Oh, he didn't have to go through a program. I'm talking about when God takes away the desire. God takes away the desire. I'm talking about when God begins to help someone, he helps him. According to the world, you're always going to be a recovering alcoholic. But when God gets a hold of you, you're not recovering, you are recovered. Simon, he'd work on the church air conditioners. He'd bring his shears and he'd cut the church shrubs. He'd get on the lawnmower and he'd cut the churchyard. He would find things that needed to be done. He was retired from his old job, but oh, he loved to spend time at the house of God. Let me tell you today that these were people that I could count on, that they would drop what they were doing and they would come running to me in a time of need. Please allow me to speak into somebody's life right now that you are in need of somebody to help you. You've come to the right place. We may not have the financial means to help you, but we've got a God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he owns the hills that the cattle's on. Touch to heal your body, but let me tell you, I know the God of heaven that is the chief physician. He's never seen a disease that he couldn't take care of. I said he's never seen a disease he couldn't take care of.
That's right.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Never seen a disease.
You may be in need of a divine intervention today. You may be in need of a deliverer today. You may be in need of a savior today. You may be in need of a forgiver of sins today. You've come to the right place. Man will disappoint you. Man will let you down. Man will not always be there for you and won't be able to help you and available when you're in time of need. But sometimes we just need God to step in to where we're at, and we need God to help us. Let me preach to somebody today. The God of heaven is walking the aisles of this sanctuary, and he's come to help you today.
Amen.
Yes, clap our hands a little bit. Gives to us some very blessed hopes and promises that we can rely on.
Yes, sir.
That's one reason why that it is so important when the scripture says that we are to seek God early. That it means exactly what it says. That we're to seek God early. Some parents are parents, and then some parents are parents. And man, that's deep. It's kind of like going to the 99-cent store and you get everything for 99 cents, Pastor. Brother D, it's kind of like when they are done, they're going to be finished. Okay?
Yeah.
You see, I've got to break it down a little bit for some here today. Pastor's got the last word, believe me. I love that man. He's my buddy. He's my friend. He's my comrade. But what, okay, where was I at? Something about parents being parents. Okay.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I started, when I left my trailer here 4 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago.
2 years.
16 years ago. I mean, 16 months ago. When I left my trailer, it was my intention to be back the first week in February. But Mom and I started being parents.
Sure.
And our boy that lived, our youngest boy that lived in Phoenix, Arizona, called and he had a wonderful opportunity to to get a good paying job there in Lake Charles. And they called him and he said, "Pops, can I come home?" I said, "Son, you can come home. You know the rules that existed when you left, and they're the same rules that still exist today, but come on home." So he came home, and my oldest boy will be 24 next month, and he's still at home.